Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
This has to be Monday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. But, you know, hey, stop by there just whatever day of the week it happens to be and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, 03.
So, all right. So, you know, I guess the, I don't know if I want to call it interesting, but I guess the way to kind of look at it that I can't seem to figure out here, Dan, is how the hell do the Yankees keep winning? You know, I mean, everybody's hurt. They lost more guys over the weekend, and yet they still managed to continue to win.
Because the Red Sox played like crap this weekend.
So, yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that's part of it. You know, that's the you know, just kind of how that worked out. But, I mean, you know, today the Yankee starter at first base is Mike Ford.
Who's that?
So, yeah, that I was kind of hoping you could tell me who that was. So, you know, I mean, I know he's I think he's kind of a prospect. I vaguely remember he was up a little earlier in the season, I believe, but I don't think he did a ton. Let me see if I can if my internet wants to kind of play along with me here, we can jump in and check it out. So, yeah, it looks like he was up for 12 games earlier in the season. He got 34 at-bats. He did hit one homer, and he hit .206. He was doing pretty well at AAA, 79 games. He's hitting .303 with 23 homers. I do have him in my FanDuel lineup tonight because he was only $2,000, and I needed to save some money. So I hope he hits. But, it's just kind of odd that we're looking at a team that – you know, has an 8-game lead in the division, and they're, what, 33 games over .500?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of start to look at these things, and it's just like, oh, okay, this is that team. I mean, you know, with all the moves like the Astros made and then some of the other teams made, and you know, you get to the Yankees and it's like, wait, what's going, how is this team? So, you know, here's tonight. Okay. This is what the Yankees are going with tonight. And I know they're playing the Orioles, but even so, DJ LeMahieu's leading off. It's Aaron Judge bat second, your guy Didi's third. Gleyber Torres is cleanup. He's actually the DH tonight. Mike Ford, as I mentioned, is hitting fifth. Brett Gardner is sixth. Austin Romine is seventh. And then it's Mike Tauchman, eighth. And Breivik Valeria is hitting ninth. So that's their lineup tonight, Dan, and this is a first place team. It's just odd. I don't even know how else to put it. I mean, you know, the injuries are killing them, and they just kind of seem to keep rolling along where everybody else cries about it. You got to explain this one to me.
They paid for it, right? Isn't that the age old?
Yeah, but did they? I mean, these are guys, you know, like I kind of vaguely remember, you know, Valerary, if that's how it's pronounced. I kind of remembered him as, yeah, Valera, maybe that's it. Let's see if they have it phonetically here on your site. Yeah, they have it as Valera. Yeah, okay, Valera is what we're going with. Sounds good. And the first name is Breivik. But, yeah, I vaguely remember him as kind of a minor prospect for the Dodgers who didn't get much of a chance. And, you know, he really hasn't gotten much of a chance anywhere. He's got, you know, counting the games he's played with the Yankees, he's had 41 games in 3 years. But,
yeah,
LA
and Baltimore.
Yeah, well, he was part of the Manny Machado deal. So, you know, he was one of the – what did they get back for that?
Well, he was –
looks like they got
the Dodgers.
They got five – he was one of the five guys they got from Machado. And then apparently he was purchased by the Giants. So –
yeah. And released in May.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of strange when you start looking at it. And, you know, again, another guy who was producing really well at AAA, you know, he was hitting .328. He has hit .300 in, you know, a short stint with the Yankees here. But, yeah, we've seen it all year. This has just been their thing. I mean, you know, Giovanni Urshela, you know, couldn't hit with Cleveland, couldn't hit with Toronto. He put on a Yankee uniform. He's hitting .314 with bombs. You know, Luke Voit scuffled in the Cardinals organization. They ship him over to the Yankees, and all of a sudden, he's a bona fide power hitter. So, you know, it's like
connection.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like magic. You know, your guy Cameron Maben has had a really good year when, you know, he's been healthy, and it just seems like, you know, yeah, you got to wonder if it's just the uniform. They plug the uniform on, and all of a sudden they hit. You know, and I mean, you know, the only plus side to the starting rotation is none of them have been seriously injured. I know CeCe's on the DL, but, you know, you start looking at the ERAs, and with the exception of Herman, you know, everybody else is over 4.5. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this is how it goes. But I guess when they're scoring the runs they kind of score, your pitchers can get away with that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, obviously the bullpen has been really good. You know, I mean, you kind of look at there, with the exception of Chad Green, who has had to make some starts. But, you know, they've been, you know, you got Chapman out of, you know, Britton and Kingley, who have been pretty much lights out when you give them the baseball. So, obviously, that's a big help. And, I don't know. They don't seem to be racking up a ton of innings in the bullpen like a lot of teams do. So, I think come playoff time, they'll be okay. I don't know. You see things going any differently here for them? Or Is this just kind of, you know, kind of their year, I guess, is how you would look at it.
I hope it's their year. I picked them to go all the way.
Yeah, I don't remember if I did, but, you know, and I'm, you know, and I mean, you look at it, I mean, we're talking about a team that's going to get, you know, they're going to get Dellin Betances back. You know, he'll probably pitch this year, or he should. So, you know, he's, you know, a big stud in the bullpen. It also looks like they're going to get Luis Severino back, who, you know, while he is their ace and a starter, will probably, you know, work out bullpen playoff time. That's a gigantic weapon to have. You got to figure sooner or later Giancarlo Stanton is going to come back. So, you know, you add one more bat to the lineup, along with Gary Sanchez, who will be rolling back in, you know, they believe sometime this month. It should be pretty soon. You know, and then it's just kind of like, oh, okay, here's the actual lineup. I mean, you know, sadly they picked up Encarnacion, and it looks like he's out 3 to 5 weeks with that damn he fractured his wrist. So, yeah, it's just, you know, you look at it, and, I mean, you think this team should be devastated with injuries, and, you know, they're not. And it's not like they're in a bad division. I mean, they're, you know, they play in, you know, good teams in their division, like Toronto and Tampa and Boston. And, you know, I mean, Toronto is okay. I get it. Baltimore is bad, but. It's very odd. They almost, I don't know, it's like they're doing it with mirrors or something, right? I mean, they're magical this year.
Oh, yeah, I think their toughest one is going to be in L.A. the last weekend of the month, or the second to last weekend of the month.
So, you know, and I mean, I get that, you know, it's the Yankees, and everybody likes to talk about them because it's the Yankees. So, but yeah, it's just, you kind of look at it, and I mean, it's impressive that they've, you know, they've done, you know, they've managed to do this. You know, and then, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, you got the Red Sox, who I don't even know how to describe that. I mean, they've lost their last 8 games in a row, and, you know, now it seems to be the starting pitching that has just kind of failed on them. Obviously, I mean, I think you and I kind of questioned the bullpen all year, and, you know, that proved to be the downfall early, but I get that the Yankees can hit, but they kind of destroyed the Red Sox over the weekend with their offense. So I don't know, just kind of. You know, just again, it's just kind of baffling. I mean, you got an excuse for Boston being this team? You know, I mean, they're coming off a World Series win. You going to give me the hangover excuse, or you got something better than that?
I mean, that was the excuse I was going to give, but no, I have no clue. I mean, it was disappointing for me with Bale in my lineup, going with 3 innings, giving up 8 runs.
Yeah. You know, and then I think it was last night David Price didn't do much better. I think he only lasted 2 1/3 and gave up 9. So, you know, because, I mean, you look at their offense and, it really hasn't been bad. I mean, if they were a contender – you know, you'd be talking about like Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts going against each other for MVP, you know, with the year both those guys haven't. I mean, obviously they would lose to Mike Trout, who is having a phenomenal year. But, you know, I mean, you damn well know the media wouldn't be shutting up about it, you know, because they're Red Sox. But, you know, and I mean, again, you know, we're talking about a team that's actually 4 games over 500. but they're 14.5 out of the division race. And now with this losing streak, they're 6.5 out of the wild card. Are they going to figure it out and get in, or at this point, does it matter?
Yeah, I'm starting to think it's not going to matter. I don't know how they've not taken over the Rays.
So, you know, and it's just kind of baffling. I mean, you know, you look at their starting rotation, and you know, their guys have made their starts. You know, they really haven't had a solid starter all year, and that's always a question mark. But, you know, they did add Andrew Cashner, who was brought in to help, but does have an ERA of just under 7. So that's really exciting. I'm just not quite sure what the heck is going on here, you know, with another one of these teams. And obviously the Nathan Eovaldi bullpen experiment doesn't seem to be going all that great. You know, he's given up 5 runs in, 5 relief appearances? Yeah, 5 runs and 5 relief appearances. He actually only gave up 2. That's divided in between 2 appearances. But he doesn't have a save. So, it's just kind of, I don't know what that's going to turn into, but I don't think it's going to turn into a long-term career as a closer here. So, I don't know. You kind of looking at, I know they had some injuries early, but they're relatively healthy now, especially compared to the Yankees. So, I don't get this team at all. So, you mentioned Tampa Bay, and I think isn't this kind of a team where we're used to them doing it this way? This always seems to be their, kind of their calling. They come in with a bunch of younger guys, and they get just kind of the right fill, and things seem to work out for them.
Yeah, but then they never go past a one card wild card game.
Yeah, they're not a team that's really gonna be a World Series winner. I mean, I really think they would have to catch all the breaks. But I did find it kind of humorous at the trade deadline that, for how long have you and I heard it about what a huge deal it is to have an opener. And, it's all important that we make sure we have one of these guys, and Tampa Bay just turned around and sent their guy off to the Marlins. So I guess it wasn't all that important. So, they didn't have a problem at all with just kind of, taking Ryan Stanek and going, okay, see you later. I don't care how many games you open. I think technically he made 27 starts, but it was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to deal you off for somebody else now. See ya.
I mean, didn't they just pull up a magic trick? Got everyone believing in it. Pulled their guy off.
Yeah, I think they kind of gave it away there, on how things are gonna go for them, or who knows? Maybe they have somebody else in line that they're, going to try to plug into that role. But yeah, I just kind of chuckle. And, I kind of thought maybe with the Blake Snell injury, I honestly thought that we would see them go away, but, they've hung on, and, we'll see. Maybe it helps that the Red Sox stink as bad as they do. You know, I mean, they're holding on to, you know, I think they have the second wild card spot. They're like a half a game ahead of Oakland. So, but yeah, I don't know if, you know, I don't know. You think they'll hang on to a spot? I mean, it's, you know, it looks like it's, yeah, you know, three teams for two spots right now with, you know, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and Oakland, unless, you know, I don't even know if anybody else can get in it. You got Boston 6.5 out and Texas 7. So I don't know.
No, I don't think they're going to hang on. I think either Oakland or Cleveland's just going to kind of knock them out. Sadly, I don't think Boston's going to rebound.
Yeah, well, I guess the one thing they have going for them is they are playing Kansas City, who has also lost 6 in a row. You know, there are a couple of the teams that are on the biggest losing streaks right now. I think they might be. Yeah, they actually are. It's Boston, then Kansas City. They're facing Mike Montgomery tonight. Maybe that'll help them out.
It should help them out big time.
It's just kind of weird. And like I said, I know we just kind of rambled off into the East there, but I just wanted to talk about it with the Yankees. I was kind of like, holy crap. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, it, to me, I don't know. I think it's kind of baffling. You know, was it a month ago you mentioned that they had somewhat like 27 guys on the IL?
Yeah. So it seems like it. And I don't know how much that number is actually came down, you know, and I mean, obviously that's guys like, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury and Greg Bird, who are always, you know, always on the IL, but it's still a sizable list here.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, CeCe just kind of makes two starts and goes back on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like they're at 16 right now. But, yeah, it's just kind of – so, yeah, I just, you know, again, like I said, it's just kind of baffling when I, you know, you start to look at it and you're like, how the hell is this team doing this? So – then of course the other plus, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a plus or how you want to look at it, but you know, the Cubs came home and started winning games. I don't understand why they're kind of magically so bad on the road, but you get them at home and you know, they play pretty, you know, pretty well here. I wanted to see if I got the records here. Yeah, they're 21-33 on the road. But they're 39-18 at home. So luckily they're home against Oakland. But they, they did move back into first place as they swept the Brewers. And I don't know, you know, now that the Brewers are 4 out of the division, 2 out of the wild card, I don't hear too many people talking about them anymore. But they're not that far out. You know, I guess it comes back to injuries, though, Dan. You know, we saw Wilson Contreras get hurt, and then I saw that the Cubs announced today that Craig Kimbrel goes on the IL. So, you know, obviously they brought Kimbrel in for a reason. You know, they did let Brad Brock go. They DFA'd him. So now they're is Pedro Strop even back? No, Pedro Strop isn't even back yet. So I guess it's Steve Cishek who's closing games now. They have had the best starters out of anybody. You know, now that Cole Hamilton's healthy, that's a big plus. But is the bullpen going to choke this away?
It's, I mean, I almost feel like we're back to the there's always next year mentality.
Yeah. You know, because I saw that they're saying a month for Contreras. It'll be 4 weeks mm-hmm. before Contreras comes back. And I do think they'll be okay with Victor Caratini as the number one. I heard somebody complain that, you know, they made the move too quickly to get rid of Martin Maldonado. And, I know he's good defensively, and he has the reputation of being able to handle the staff really well. But, you know, Caratini is not only is he a switch hitter, but he's an offensive catcher. He can put up numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure if I buy the, you know, the panic button there, so to speak, on, you know, oh, well, we made that move a little too quick, but, you know,
well, I mean, they,
who knows,
they,
you know.
They had no choice. The deadline was there.
I'm sure, you know, Taylor Davis will be fine as a backup. I mean, again, you're not looking for him to catch, all the time or anything like that. So, yeah, you know, he'll be okay. I just worry now looking at the bullpen, you know, especially because they've been playing close games. But oddly, you know, the ERAs are really good. With the exception of Strope, who should be coming back soon. I just don't know if I trust these guys.
I mean, you almost
put
Montgomery, and he was able to take over that bullpen role.
Not by Derek Holland as the left-handed specialist there. You know, coming out of the pen to get the big lefties out.
No, I mean, you know, the way Vince Velasquez has been playing the outfield, too bad they couldn't have traded for him in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another kind of funny thing. I love how everybody made a gigantic deal out of that, you know, like it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen. And then somebody actually pointed out that he used to play shortstop when he was in high school and he was the best player on his team, which we've said many, 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 many times on this podcast. So,
yeah. Well, not to mention that part of every starting pitcher's warm-up is throwing from 150 feet plus to the catcher. So it's literally something they do.
Like to the backstop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I mean, it's something they literally do, if not, you know, once a week, but twice a week for their entire career.
Yeah, they play long toss. So, you know, I mean, he did make a nice catch. That diving catch was really nice. That was a tough play. But, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, these guys, you know, some of these guys are actually still athletes. I mean, you know, we saw Travis Wood do it here. Michael Lorenzen just did it last week with the Reds, made a leaping catch on the warning track. So, you know, the position seems to be changing, and not just because of Shohei Ohtani, but, you know, there are guys more and more. I saw the Angels brought up another guy, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, that they listed as a left-handed pitcher outfielder. You know, where I believe Ohtani is a right-handed pitcher outfielder. So, you know, now they have a combination of guys. So, yeah, I just don't think it's, is it that big of a surprise when, these guys make that kind of play? So. You know, and then I did wonder if maybe the Braves made a mistake. You know, here a little earlier. I mean, lucky for them, they have a relatively decent lead. They have a 7-game lead over both the Phillies and the Nationals. But you know, they were shuffling around some roster moves, and I know that, you know, Kevin Gausman has had a down year, but they tried to DFA him and sneak him through, you know, sneak him through waivers to get him back to the minors because he has scuffled a little. But the Reds obviously spotted this and picked him up. So, you know, like this year in 16 starts, Gausman was 3-7 with a 6.19 ERA. But last year when the Braves picked him up from Baltimore, he made 10 starts for them. He was 5-3 with a 2.87 ERA. So, you know, you just kind of wonder if, you know, maybe he hit a rough patch this year. You know, we're talking about a guy who's only 28 years old. So it's, you know, it's kind of questionable. And I know they got to the point where apparently the only guy they had eligible to send down was Sean Newcomb. And he's the only lefty in their bullpen. So he really wasn't going anywhere. So Gausman, who was supposed to make the start, it was either tonight or tomorrow, he's gone. They called up Mike Fulton-Nawitz, who really scuffled. He had made 11 starts before they sent him down. He ended up he was 2-5 with a 6.37 ERA. So he'll come up and try to fill Gausman's spot in the rotation. So I just wonder if, you know, maybe they, you know, they tried to get a little too smart or what they tried to get. You know, they added a bunch of veteran help in the bullpen at the deadline. You know, but obviously when you add all these guys, they don't have the options. You know, I mean, like they picked up, you know, the Jerry Blevins, and they picked up Anthony Swarzak. I believe they added Josh Tomlin, and I think there was another guy. You know, that's right, they added a flurry of guys. I forgot Shane Green, Mark Melancon, and Chris Martin. So you know, you brought up a bunch of guys that are, you know, in their 30s, 30 plus. And you either got to DFA them or, you know, you got to ride with them. And it looks like they're riding with these veteran guys. I know Green got off to a rough start with them. Made a couple appearances, blew a save, and then ended up blowing a game. So not the best there, but obviously it's just, you know, a couple appearances, so hopefully they'll be okay. But yeah, it's tough when you know you're looking at a 28-year-old starting pitcher that you let go for nothing. You know, even though he has been projected to be a pretty good, you know, middle of the rotation guy, which you need. But I guess we'll see. I mean, I know they have they're another one of the teams with the smart front office. They have that Alex Anthopoulos. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe it won't affect them here, but I guess possibly down the stretch, or when they start looking for rotation help next year, it might be a big deal. So, we'll see. I don't think it's going to be too much of a deal this year. Obviously, if Fulton-Nawitz can get back in line, that won't be an issue at all. Or at least give them a little something. They'll be okay. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of an odd or strange. Or I don't even know how you want to look at it. But I guess they really didn't have much choice. You know, it was either Newcomb going back to the minors where. you know, they need him. I mean, he's been, you know, really solid out of the bullpen. I want to grab his numbers here. You know, he did make four starts earlier, but he's appeared in 34 games overall, 5-1 with a 2.50 ERA. He did pick up a save. You know, and I know, like I said, they do have Blevins, who's left-handed, but he's more of that come-in-and-take-one-guy type of reliever where, you know, Newton can come in and give you multiple outs and innings if you need it. So, you know, like I said, I don't think it'll come back to haunt them this year, but, you know, maybe as they look for starters down the road, it becomes a problem. You know, we'll just have to kind of remember to watch it and keep up with it. Or,
I mean, what do you think of what the Reds are doing, though? I mean, you know, they got Sonny Gray, what's his name, from L.A. They just picked up Gausman. Well, I think, you know, he's, I don't know, I kind of like the dude, but I know his numbers definitely aren't an ace. I think he's, you know, especially with the Reds have going on, he's going to be a great 4 or 5 for them. I mean, when you think about it, they were the ones who seemed to make more of the splash at the trade deadline than anybody else, getting Trevor Bauer. That's the name I was forgetting. So, you know, they're definitely getting ready for, you know, we're getting ready for next year and the next three seasons. Correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't get rid of their, you know, hotshot closer, did they?
No.
No, I mean, so they've pretty much got the pitching locked up. They weren't, I don't know. You know, if Yasiel Puig's management team and Derek Jeter have been listening to you, or maybe the Reds are listening to you, and they're like, there's no way we're going to re-sign Puig. You know, I mean, what do you think their offense is missing to kind of put them back in? And, you know, should Cincinnati fans start getting excited again? Well, not now, but next year.
Yeah, you know, you do have to kind of wonder if, you know, maybe this is, you know, a good thing going forward. I mean, you're looking at a rotation that's going to give you, you know, obviously Trevor Bauer will be at the top. But, you know, Luis Castillo, you know, it looks like they might have something there. You know, obviously he's their own prospect. Kevin Ford with a 2.63 ERA. So, you know, he looks like the real deal. And with Bauer there, you know, that kind of gives him a buffer. You mentioned Tony Gray, who's been really good. You know, even though he's only 6-6, his ERA sits at 3.25. And, you know, God forbid if they could ever get anything out of Alex Wood. You know, I mean, they brought him in really hoping he was going to kind of hope out and, you know, work at the top of the rotation, but he's another one of those damn guys who just can't stay healthy. So, you know, maybe if he can ever get right, you know, other than that, they've got to find that fifth guy. I don't know if it'll be, you know, Anthony DeSclafani has had a lot of attempts and really hasn't capitalized. You know, Tyler Molly's been hurt, but he's only 24. So, you know, they got to find that last guy for the rotation. Obviously, you know, when you got Iglesias, you got a guy who can shut down games for you. I know he hit a rough patch earlier in the year, but a lot of players go through that.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
then it's just kind of working out the offense.
Well, you know, before I get into the offense, but, I mean, at any point this kid's going to have a rough patch. Would you rather it now when it doesn't matter what, nonetheless, you know?
Well, you know, and like I said, I mean, every closer goes through that. I mean, we saw, you know, Aroldis Chapman hit a, you know, a couple-game stint where he couldn't, you know. It's just one of those things that happen as they, you know, as they go through the year. So, but, you know, I mean, we're still talking about a guy who's sitting at 21 saves right now. So, you know, and I mean, Amir Garrett seems to have become that, you know, left-handed stopper guy out of the bullpen, can come in and get lefties out when he's not fighting with the other team. So, you know, they look like they've got a, also a decent pitching setup as things go. You know, it'd be nice to have Bauer for a full year next year to see what they can do there. And then, you know, like I said, it's just wondering what the hell is going to go on with this offense. You know, they've always had a lot of prospects, but none of, you know, they got to start to produce.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that obviously Eugenio Suarez kind of secured that spot at third. I believe this is the second year of his six-year deal. So, you know, unless they move him, but I think with all the pitching they've got, there's really no reason to move him. You know, Votto's still with the team, but, you know, where do you fill in the rest? Because Scooter Gennett is with Milwaukee now. So, you know, kind of a guy who was – or San Francisco, geez. Kind of a guy who was not, you know, definitely not a cleanup guy, but a valuable piece. You know, kind of a good one, but I think he brought back some stuff. I don't remember how that went down, how he left. But, you know, are they really looking to fill that whole, you know, infield and outfield? Or do you think there may be a good couple of signings in the offseason?
Yeah, I know they have a ton of prospects. And, you know, like Nick Senzel is having a really good rookie year. They were high enough on Jesse Winker to just kind of let Billy Hamilton go. And, you know, he's doing all right. Well, I think he's hit for more power than people expected with the 15 homers. With Puig gone, they really do lighten up in the power department. You know, Suarez has 29. Votto only has 11. I know he's hitting better now. He made some adjustments, and it seems to have really helped him. So we'll see how strong he is, you know, down the stretch here. Derek Dietrich has 19 home runs, but I think that's kind of fluky. He's also only hitting 207. So I know everybody loves him because he's a huge guy, but, you know, eventually the numbers are going to catch up to him. They need to kind of work that out, you know, and it's just where do you find this at? Or, you know, do they have it in the minors? Maybe they have they've always they started to load up with prospects, but will they be, you know, those type of prospects?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't even want you to start digging yet. We've got plenty of time. But do you kind of foresee them maybe snagging somebody that's a little bit bigger? I don't think you would go – no, of course, I'm not in the Reds management team or any of the front office or any of that stuff. But, me personally, I would think that the hottest guys out there on the free agency next year, whoever it is, I'm not really looking to sign a 7 to 10 year deal for, you know, $200-300 million. You know, I know that I don't know who's going to be that guy next year, but do you think the Reds kind of maybe fall into that position where they're going to look to sign quality, but not overpay and not really see a whole lot of production out of that? I know you got to look at the full term, but I still don't think in the end it's either one of those two are fully going to live up to the contract terms.
I think they need to, you know, they need to find some help up the middle, whether they add, you know, they add the shortstop or, you know, they add the second baseman. You know, the question just kind of becomes who's going to be there, you know, for them to kind of go out and say, like, I don't know if there's a big time guy, you know, like, I know there's a ton of pitching out there, but I don't know if there's a middle infield guy where you'd go, oh yeah, this is our target type of guy. I mean, looking here real quick there, you know, there are a couple notes. I didn't realize your guy Didi is a free agent after this year with the Yankees. So,
wow.
You know, maybe they give him a look. Jonathan Scope hits the free agent market. he could be a really good fit in that ballpark. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know. You know, like, Starlin Castro will probably be a free agent. He's got an option with the team, but it's for $16 million, and the buyout is only $1 million. So I'm guessing the Marlins could buy him out. He could be a solid add as well. I mean, he's only 30, believe it or not. So, you know, there are a couple names out there.
Ben Zobrist.
You know, they also have the option of moving Senzel back to second, which was his natural position before they moved him in center, and then going with one of their, you know, they could go with a Josh Van Meter or Philip Irvin in the outfield and then maybe try to sign a big-time outfielder. So, you know, just kind of depending on, you know, which outfielders pop up there. I know Marcell Ozuna is only 29, so he's going to get a lot of attention just because he's so young. You know, maybe they could sign Nicholas Castellanos and we won't have to hear about him with the Cubs. Or, they could always try to bring Puig back as well.
Yeah.
So, there is a gigantic option, but there could be some guys who could help them.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I was just kind of bumping you up with your prediction on where Puig should go. But that is, that is that's a smart thing to do. It's kind of a Cashman thing to do where you trade a guy away knowing full well you're going to re-sign him, and then you take from the other guy just to restock your system. But, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, what a trade that would even turn out to be in. You know, you land Bauer and then you re-sign Puig. You know, because I doubt Cleveland will re-sign him. You know, they're looking to cut payroll. So I don't think he's going back there.
I mean, they let their own guy go.
Right. Oh, excuse me. So, yeah, it could be a fun type of off season for them, you know, because they, you know, it seemed like they kind of, you know, they made some ads nobody was really expecting this year. So,
yeah.
You wonder, you know, and I am looking, they have a, looks like they have one big time hit power hitter at Double A. Ibandel Isabel. He's a first baseman outfielder. He's got 26 bombs at Double A. So, you know, maybe he'll get a look in the off season to fill one of those outfield spots. Because I don't, you know, I, you know, most of the guys at Triple A are, you know, they seem to be kind of, as much as I hate to say it, cast-offs. I'll take a peek here real quick. They have a guy with 28 bombs down at Triple A. I'm getting all the good names today, Dan. This is RSTD Aquino. Yeah, he's an outfielder. I know he had a short stint. He was up for four games. Did hit a homer and hit .333 while he was up. So, but yeah, he's put up 28 bombs at Louisville, and he's only 25. So, you know, maybe they got a couple guys there they'll take a look at. You know, in the off season, maybe that's the way they go in the outfield, and then they add an infielder.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they definitely need to add one, you know, verified major league player. I don't know who that would be. You know, whether, like you said, it's Puig or, you know, trying to add somebody up the middle, like Jonathan Scope or in that realm. I don't know. I feel like they're the team that really needs to make a move next year to
to kind of bring him back. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the way the Central's been playing, and I don't know if it's just the way they play against each other, the NL Central, that is. But when you know, I was kind of surprised to see that this division, especially the Cards, the Cubs, and you throw the Brewers into it too, you know, now that Pittsburgh kind of just fell off after they lost A.J. Burnett, it seems like, and McCutcheon. You know, this was the top division for several years in a row. And now you look at the standings and you're like, ugh, you know, Cubs are not going to be in a great position when it comes to the playoffs if they're in first place, because they're not going to get home field advantage. And, like, you threw the numbers out there, and it's not looking too good if they go to the playoffs on the road. And, you know, with the Reds, I think, you know, with the pitching staff and being able to regroup in the offseason, they can definitely turn it around and really make it a 14 division with the Pirates just kind of going, what the hell happened?
Yeah, you know, that for whatever reason, you know, the Central is quite, you know, quite competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, you know, they're not that far out of it. I mean, you know, it was a huge surprise when they, you know, they moved Bauer and then did, you know, and then kept him. You know, I think everybody fully expected them just to, you know, try to move him along. But
well, I feel like that.
Yeah.
That's why I threw out there that they made kind of the biggest splash, I felt. I'm not going to throw out they won the trade deadline. Is that the new one? They won the trading, the deadline. But, you know, I just felt like they made the biggest splash because, I mean, of all the teams, who the hell had Bauer going to Cincinnati? I don't think anybody did.
No, yeah, there was nobody, you know, that was nowhere on anybody's radar anywhere that he was going to land in Cincinnati. So, you know, yeah, it was just, you know, that was like the same deal with, you know, Marcus Stroman. Nobody had him going to the Mets. You know, I mean, these two guys who, you know, ended up being the two biggest pitchers moved, you know, along with Zach Greinke, you know, they all went to places that nobody had them going to.
You know, and we didn't really touch on that, and maybe we should go over everything tomorrow. I just totally slipped my mind. But, you know, you question how the hell are the Yankees still winning. But what is that, you know, I don't want to make the fatal prediction, but let's be honest. All probabilities, you know, I ran it through my analytics machine. I know you did too. I don't know if you did too. I don't know what your numbers came up with. But, you know, mine came up with the fact that it's like a 90% chance we're going to see the Yankees and the Astros and the ALCS.
Yeah.
Now, you're the Yankees, and, you know, you never know who, you know, is J.A. App going to be there? Is CeCe going to be there? You know, are you going to be able to time up those IL moves so that they're healthy for the postseason? But, I mean, what is that rotation? Verlander, Greinke? I'm lost, Big Jack. Can you keep going with it?
Garrett Cole and Wade Miley for the playoffs.
You know, how are you defending? How are you going against that?
Yeah, so, well, you know, I mean, on the plus side, the one thing the Yankees have is offense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's been their saving grace all year. So, you know, I think that's what makes it a really interesting matchup is we're going to see a team that, you know, a team in the Yankees who have got by on offense all year. You know, I mean, they're the Bronx Bombers. They're out slugging people. You know, that's just kind of how it goes, and they're going to run into a pitching staff where, you know, Verlander is a Hall of Famer and still looks like a really good pitcher. You know, Cole has been great for the Astros. You know, Greinke, even though he's not throwing as hard as he used to, is still getting people out and winning games. You know, in a league where you have to throw 95 points to get out and win, get outs and win games, he's somehow doing it at, you know, 90. And then Miley, you know, I still can't believe the Brewers let Miley go. With all the issues they're having in pitching, No, I mean, the Astros got into a slump. You know, I mean, he sat out there and sat out there with all this pitching that teams desperately need. And, if I remember right, I think the Astros got him for all of like $1 million or something like that this season. I got to double check that number. But, yeah, I get it. You know, he's not a Cy Young pitcher or anything like that, but I'm sure a lot of teams would have liked a guy who's made 23 starts as 10-4 with a 3.05 ERA. There's a lot of rotations he could have fit in, I think. I was a little off on his salary. They got him for $4.5 million, which is still a steal in today's game for a pitcher.
I was going to say, isn't that like $1 million in their, in their world?
Oh. It's just kind of, and I know his resume wasn't great coming in, but he was really good for Milwaukee last year. He made 16 starts for Milwaukee. He was 5-2 with a 2.57 ERA, and they decided they didn't need him.
I didn't understand.
So, yeah. They were content to go with, the interesting starting rotation they had, and I guess blowing out their bullpen was the option. So, close to getting out of here, and I got to figure out if I can find the video for this, but Green Bay for training camp, they always do this thing where the players ride the kids' bikes to practice and the kids kind of walk alongside them. It's almost like a little parade setup they kind of do. And, it's fun to see, you get these big giant guys on these little bikes. Well, apparently this year they're having a combined practice with the Texans. So some of the Texans players got in on this. And apparently J.J. Watt got on a kid's bike and it broke while he was riding it. So I'm really hoping there's video of this out there, of this bike breaking on Watt. But to no surprise, Dan, he bought the kid a new bike. So.
Oh, of course. I mean, if you don't know about J.J. Watt,
Yeah. So, but yeah, like his quotes were kind of humorous. He mentioned that it wasn't equipped for a 290-pound man, and that the seat ended up breaking off on him. And I'm sure the kid was fine, probably knowing he was getting a new bike. But, just one of those, one of those things that they like to do. It's basically a tradition there. And, Watt is from Wisconsin. He not only was born there, but he went to the University of Wisconsin, so he knows all about this, growing up a Packer fan. But, yeah, I just thought it was funny that it ended up happening to him. And, I gotta have to go out and search the video or something on it and see if they, if it made the YouTube yet or anything like that.
Well, and two more football-related, baseball, football. Trevor Bauer got traded. Showed up to an Indians game as a fan. I thought that was pretty funny, pretty cool. But the biggest one, speaking of the Indians, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Johnny Football would have been like completely murdered in the media if he shotgunned a beer at the Cleveland Indians game.
Right. Yeah. Just imagine if that would have been good old Manziel up there doing that. So, that would have just been a death sentence for the kids.
So cool. I was impressed.
A lot of years. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. While we're going to do this, OpenRadio.com, whatever they said I was going on, while you're there, of course, there's a link. I'll be in the Facebook page. Hey, you want all the little videos? Well, you get that a like. Well, don't forget the Twitter feed. It's Facebook for the video. As always, feel free to listen to online about the video. That would be cool. And another cool thing is if you came along with the time and you listen to it live, that would be awesome of you. And hey, if you did miss the podcast, just head over to TuneIn.com. You can listen. one.